It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of John, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to begin reading with verse 30 through verse 42 today. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it is at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's all small letters. Love to hear from you. Now we'll begin reading John chapter 19, verse 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead, already they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out thereout blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as is the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word today. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come and to enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us as we enjoy this study today. It is wonderful to look into your Word, and as we find our way through to the crucifixion, and as the Scripture said, the verse we started to read, it is finished. Help us, Father, to understand the great love that you had for us as you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, knowing that he was coming to die upon the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord, to see how much you love us, what you have done for us, that no one would miss such a free gift of salvation coming by faith to you. Please, Lord, help us to see that today, that no one would miss it, and those of us that have come by faith to you and are saved, that we will not understand and show our love and appreciation and service back to you, Father, for all that you have done for us. And we never end working, and we never take the honor and glory upon ourselves, but we continue to turn it to you and give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful Word that you have before us, the great work that you've done for us, and please help us to always praise you. Now guide and lead us as we study this Word today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a joy to come and have this study. As we left last time, we have found ourselves all the way to these words, "It is finished," that the Lord Jesus spoke. But before we find our way there, I want to share with you a couple of things, and I said I was going to last time we were together. And we're going to begin with Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and I'd like for you to turn there with me if you can, because it's important to see. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to look at the 18th verse. Exodus chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading with verse 18. Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. Let's look once again at verse 18 of Exodus 12, 18. The first month on the 14th day of the month. The 14th day of Nisan. The 14th day of Nisan is the day that the Passover lamb was to be slain, was to be put to death. You'll find that if we look, as we looked at these verses of Scripture, that on Wednesday evening, before nightfall, Wednesday afternoon, we have some hours here. Remember, as we looked in the verse of Scripture, as we bring this all together for you, we have the sixth hour listed in the 14th verse, John 19, verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. And as we find the Scripture, we know then beyond this, he bearing the cross went forth to the place called the Skull, which in the Hebrew tongue was Golgotha, where they crucified him, according to the 18th verse, John 19, 18. Well, we have just read out of Exodus chapter 12, verses 18 and through 21, concerning the Passover lamb, the beautiful Scripture, as we look at the feasts that were put into place, first the unleavened bread, then the Passover, then the Feast of the First Fruits, and it just continues. God has set this in place as when Moses went up onto the mount and received the Ten Commandments. He also received the law. He received just the Ten Commandments, but also their feasts, everything that they should do, and the plan to the tabernacle. Every time that God spoke to the people with judgment, there was always the means of redemption, always the means of salvation. What we find, and it's wonderful as we look through these pictures that we have in the Old Testament, and now they are completed, they're made full and finished in the New Testament. So it's important that you study the Old Testament and the New, and when you look back to find this Passover lamb, and find that clearly it is slain on the 14th day of Nisan. Now if we look at the calendar, and the calendar is correct, we'll find that to be on a Wednesday, that this is taking place. And as the Lord Jesus here in John 19, we find as they delivered him and bore the cross and carried it, as verse 17 tells us, John 19:17. Then also we find when this started in the 18th verse, and there they crucified him, the two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. The third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. The sixth hour that was spoken of above in the 14th verse is actually 6 o'clock in the morning, because that's Roman time. Down here is the time that the Jews kept, the third hour, 9 o'clock, according to other verses of Scripture and the other Gospels. We find that the Lord Jesus was placed on the cross at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, the 14th day of Nisan. There he hung upon the cross, and we find, as verses of Scripture tell us, as this gave us an explanation of what was written, placed upon the top of the cross. It talked about what happened to the Lord Jesus' garments. It talked about a conversation that Jesus had with John, John concerning his mother and the care for his mother. We speak of, I thirst, that the Scripture would be fulfilled. And then we find our way to verse 30, it is finished. Well, from the third hour, 9 a.m. in the morning, to the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have something that took place midway through, and that's at noon at the sixth hour. Now, if we'll take our Scripture and look with the sixth hour, we'll find in in Mark 15, verses 33 through 37. Mark chapter 15. Now, if you can turn to that with me, Mark chapter 15. We don't want to miss any of these verses of Scripture. Mark 15, verses 33 through 37. I guess there we are. Mark 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Remember what we had just talked about concerning the Scripture verses here. Even though we have the sixth hour in verse 14 of John 19, that is actually 6 in the morning. And you'll notice that we have no other time that is given. But if you'll go to the other Gospels, then we are given a different time, a time that the Jews were keeping. Third hour was actually 9 a.m. in the morning. And so we come to 9 a.m. Then we come to the sixth hour, which is 12 noon, the high of the day, when the sun should be the brightest and the heat would come forth. But instead of that, we find that it became dark, and so dark and eerie that it was just, I don't believe you could see the hand in front of your face. And again, Mark 15:33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth for Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost. We're at the 30th verse in John chapter 19, verse 30. Well, let's look back just a minute here at this sixth hour, at this darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ, not only physically, was taken to the cross of Calvary. Let's look at what we do know. It is not like the pictures that you see, because we have no idea what the body of the Lord Jesus looked like, nor do we just have this trickle of blood that everybody keeps trying to put on there with a trickle from his hands and from his side and from his feet. He was drenched in his own blood. He was beaten brutally. He had the crown of thorns around his head, and they had been beaten up on to drive them deeper into his skull. That's what had taken place with the Lord Jesus. So he had the crown of thorns on. At this time, he has very little clothing on. He was beaten, placed upon the cross to die, and now we are witnessing that death from the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, to the sixth hour. But at the sixth hour, at noon, then it gets dark. What has happened? This is when the transaction between God and His Son, as Jesus took our sin, and as that time period come, no man was able nor capable of looking upon the face and the body of the Lord Jesus. When such pain and agony was placed, a level of pain that no man could even see, let alone carry. But Jesus did for us. You see, Jesus never, ever had experienced sin. And there's a separation for a period of time between God the Father and God the Son, because there was a work that He took our sin and bore our sin upon the cross of Calvary. Picture that brutal death that he had, the pain and the agony as he died upon the cross of Calvary, that your sin would be forgiven, that my sin would be forgiven. What a wonderful work the Lord Jesus has produced and taken care of for you and for me, that we might live and have redemption. So for 3 hours it was dark. It was so dark, again, you couldn't see the face, the hand in front of your face. And when we come through these verses of Scripture, and we look at them very carefully, and we see what has taken place. The sixth hour was come. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And that's what took place during that period of time. And so from the ninth hour, then as the ninth hour come, we have in John 19:30, he said, It is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But in Mark here, it says, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And those that heard him stood by, and when they heard it, they said, he calls for Elias. And one ran and filled the sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him drink, saying, let us see whether Elias or Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So we have that period of time from the sixth hour to the ninth, and at the very last minutes of his life was this sin placed upon him. He was separated from his Father to take, he offered his life, sacrificed his life for you and for me, that we can have life, that we can live. Oh, the love that God has shown towards us. Please do not neglect such a free gift as salvation, if you'll just come to him. Now, when we look through these verses of Scripture now, as we return, we have looked at Mark 15:33 through 37, and we have went from the third hour of verse 18 in John 19. We have passed through the sixth hour, which was noon. Darkness has come for 3 hours. And now we find at verse 30, and he cries out, it is finished. We're to the ninth hour, 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, the same time that the Passover lamb was put to death, back in Exodus chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. When that Passover lamb was put to death, Jesus is our Passover lamb. I wanted you to see that. It's clear. And then we have easily, simply, 3 days and three nights for the Lord Jesus to be in that grave. As he said, Jonah, as he is in the belly of that fish, so will I. Please don't miss the opportunities. Time after time, he quoted scripture verses concerning being in the grave 3 days and three nights. Don't try to figure it out, a half a day here, and if it's a part of day, then it's count for a full day. Let's just take it as it is. 3 days and three nights. He went in the grave Wednesday night. Wednesday night. He'll come out. He'll be out of that grave, and he'll be alive come Sunday morning, 3 days and three nights later. We have the darkness. We have the ninth hour has arrived. We find that something happened at that time, and I want to go back to Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 51. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Verses 51 through 56. We want to take a minute here. Find this verse of Scripture. I'm looking through the pages just like you are. Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 56. Behold, this is what happened when Jesus cried out, it is finished. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. We have the scripture verse telling us that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Now, the veil that is spoken of there is actually, if you go back into Hebrews, you'll find that it speaks there of the veil that was rent. Because you see, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, by him dying on the cross, and by us coming by faith to the Lord Jesus, can go right to God the Father in the Holy of Holies. If you go back into the Exodus, you'll find a tabernacle. In that tabernacle, outer courtyard. In the outer courtyard was first the brazen altar, then the brazen laver. Come into the tabernacle building itself. It was 45 feet long, 15 foot wide, 15-foot tall, gold walls. Everything on the outside in the courtyard was made of brass, but everything in the inside of this building was made of gold. The golden walls, 15 feet high, beautiful white linen ceiling. As you looked it, in the first room of the tabernacle, it was in two rooms. One room was 30 by 15, the other room was 15 by 15, and then 15 feet tall, just a cube. First room had the lampstand, table of showbread, incense altar. Then we have a veil. Then we have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Between those two places, no one could go except the high priest. Between, could not pass through that veil between the holy place and the holy of holies. Could only pass through once a year on the Day of Atonement, and then only with the blood. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ presented his blood unto the Father, that veil rent in two, because he was presenting to him, giving it to him. The blood of Jesus Christ to this very day is at the throne of God in the Holy of Holies in heaven, and it'll be there eternally. And I'll tell you what, he has secured us, he has bought us, he has paid for us with his blood. The death, burial, and resurrection. He came out of that grave alive. Wonderful. We'll get to the 20th chapter of John here. It's wonderful to look at those verses of Scripture. When he cried out, "It is finished," that veil tore in two from top to bottom between, meaning no longer is the priest kept out of the Holy of Holies. They could never go in, only the high priest. Common man could never come in to even the tabernacle proper, couldn't even come into the courtyard of the tabernacle. And so you see, when Jesus died on the cross, we can come right through, and that veil is no longer there, but the body of Jesus has taken his place. The body that was crucified upon the cross, died there, presented his blood on the mercy seat, unto the throne of God, unto God the Father, said, "It is finished." What a wonderful work is done. Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And yes, there is wonderful power in the blood. I love to sing that old hymn. As we look here, "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Let's continue now as we look in John chapter 19, verse 31. "And the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day." Now look at the next verse of Scripture. "For that Sabbath day was an high day." It was not a regular Saturday Sabbath. This would be Thursday. They had to get the body off of the cross before nightfall, before it become dark Wednesday. If you remember, the days are different. The day Thursday starts at nightfall. What we would call Wednesday night is actually Thursday to them. That's when their day begins. Is dark the day before. They had to have the body of the Lord Jesus off of the cross and in the grave before it got dark, before this high day, this Sabbath day, the high day, Thursday. They had to have him in the grave before that evening, what we would call Wednesday night. And so besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Jesus is dead. Jesus has died on the cross of Calvary. They come to him. The reason, the purpose for the soldiers coming to break the legs of those that were crucified is to stop, it does not prolong their death. They stand up on the spike with their feet and they thrust themselves upward so that they can breathe. They suffocate is actually how that you die upon the cross with crucifixion. When you're crucified, yes, you almost bleed to death, but also it's suffocation, because you want to live and you want to take that breath, and you push up on your feet up on that spike so that you can take one breath, and you can't stand the pain any longer, so you settle down. Well, they come by and they break your leg so that you can't do that, so that you die. That's what they do. That was the purpose of it. But you see, according to Psalms 34:20, a bone of him shall not be broken. That's what the 36th verse tells us in John 19. So you see, when they came by to the Lord Jesus, man did not kill the Son of God. When the work was finished, he gave up the ghost, verse 30 tells us. Jesus did not die a natural death. Any level of this pain and suffering, a normal man would have died, but Jesus didn't. When the time was finished, the work was over, he had finished the work, he had taken our sin, and then when he had taken that, it was finished. And he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No man took his life. He gave his life for you and for me. Don't ever miss that. He gave his life. And no, he just didn't surrender so they could arrest him and kill him. They did the crucifying, they did the beating, they placed the crown of thorns on his head. But when the time was finished, when it was done, he gave his life. He gave up the ghost. It was finished. Again, they come by then. The other two were still alive, so they broke their legs. But when they got to Jesus, they didn't need to. And it was said back all the way in Psalms that there would not be, it shall not be broken. His bones shall not be broken. And even through all the beating and the whipping and the everything that was involved, there wasn't one bone that was broken. That the scripture was fulfilled. God knows his word. And again, another scripture, verse 37, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Remember above in verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. As we look at the scripture verse in Psalms 22:16, wonderful to look at the word of God and how it's complete. And all these things are fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. And he that saw it bear record, verse 35, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And then we come to the next section. And here we are to the close of the 14th day of Nisan. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be placed into the grave. And we find in verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in that garden a new sepulchre, wherein never a man was yet laid. And there they laid Jesus, therefore, because it was the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. We're going to not rush through this, as the Lord Jesus died. We know, according to the word of God here, that Joseph and Nicodemus both were of places of power and authority. They could go to Pilate and said, you know, can we have the body of the Lord Jesus? Yes, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were kind of secret disciples. We find, I believe, that they were very bold at this time, though. They came forth asking for Jesus. Could have been persecuted, put to death by the Jews, but they weren't. And they took the body of Jesus down, and they took the body, the dead body, and laid that body in this tomb where never a man had laid. And as we find it, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are both listed here. It speaks in other Gospels that Joseph was the one that went before and asked for the body. And then we find Nicodemus, too, was involved with it. They brought the body back. They laid it in the sepulcher. We find the women staying close by to witness this very laying of the body. Now, we're going to begin with a little review next time, and then at the 20th chapter, the first day of the week. My dear friend, it's wonderful to study the Word of God. Please, I ask you again, what are you going to do about Jesus?